outrageous. My guest in the car ride here to the studio brought up something. I mean, this is the world's foremost expert in cults, in deliverance, in occult. His name is Bob Larson. You've probably seen him on television. I can understand him going after something like Harry Potter. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But the Chronicles of Narnia, I mean, good versus evil. I mean, actually, the gospel in an allegorical form with this line and getting it. I mean, Hollywood has been so corrupt for so many years, and now we're finally getting something talking about good things and feel-good movies. And so, Bob Larson, why do you say that it's not a godly movie?
You got a good argument. You're almost convincing me.
No, God, not really. Well, we'll go to another subject.
Well, everything you say is true. And allegorically, although Lewis warned, don't read too much into it. You know, C.S. Lewis said, at times it was the gospel, and at times it wasn't the gospel. Nobody knows what he really meant and really intended. But the problem that I have is that it crosses over a line in that you have a number of characters and beings in there, Minotaurs, centaurs, incubus spirits, and many of these beings are actually on the side of good, and the worst of which is Mr. Tumnus, this fawn, satyr, who is half goat, half human. He's the good guy on the good side. This is the classical historic in Satanism representation of Lucifer.
So you mean someone that is in Satanism would go to that movie and get even more excited than a Christian?
Well, they would at least identify with that character and get a little bit of a chuckle that that the theater is filled with Christians who are there thinking it's an allegorical representation of the gospel when you've got the personification of Lucifer on the screen hopping around in cloven hooves. I mean, there's some confusion here, and you can't just send kids who are Christians to that movie without an adequate explanation.
Here's what I hear you saying, Bob. What I hear you saying is that it's pushing Christianity a little further away from biblical godly positions so that perhaps the next one might push them over the edge.
It's a very dangerous thing to eclectically mix the gospel and any sort of Christian truth with things that are outright demonic. Now, you know, I can't read C.S. Lewis's mind. I don't know what he was thinking at the time. He was an Oxford scholar. He studied the classic literature modes. And you know, maybe to him it was something that was archetypal, it was philosophical, but in a world in which sorcery and witchcraft and the occult is so prevalent and seducing so many of our young people today, I think it's a dangerous step over the mark. And any Christian parent who's going to say their kids should go see this movie, it better be aware of what they're seeing.
Bob Larson was recently in New Zealand, and he was conducting a meeting, and there was a man by the name of Shane who literally was abused by his father at knife point as a child. Horrible situation. I want you to see what happens when Bob actually picks him out in the audience and begins to move with the power of God. Let's go to that clip.
My Bible. Look at me. What's your first name, sir?
Shane.
Huh? Shane. Shane? You're with him? What's your relationship?
Engaged.
Engaged. I divide soul and spirit. I separate Shane from the angry part. From angry Shane.
Tonight, I come here expecting something to happen, to be more freer.
What happened? Who do you hate and why?
My father.
What'd your father do?
He raped me and handed up to a friend.
He raped you and what? Handed you off to a friend? What'd you say?
He had a knife to my friend.
He put a knife to your throat and raped you, your own father? No wonder you want to kill him. I'd want to kill him too if he deserves to die.
I just felt rage, just so much hate, so much anger, resentment, retaliation.
Look at me. You're a good man, Shane. Your father did a bad thing. He did it because somebody did it to him. And a curse that goes way back. Something that evil could only be the result of a long embedded curse. You're here tonight because God's going to set you free. If you let him right now. I'm going to take you through a couple of processes. Look at me. I take the sword of the Spirit and I divide soul and spirit and I divide Shane the man from Shane the boy. I want the little boy who was raped. I want you to look at me. I want little Shane to look at me. Your daddy's a mean daddy. He's a very bad daddy and he's doing something very bad to you. And you don't like it, do you? And it hurts. And you hate what he's doing and you hate him for doing it, don't you? Don't you? He's bad, isn't he?
A lot of that is to do with the anger that was just built within, and it was like, I guess, like a ticking time bomb, really, ready to explode.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm sorry for what Daddy did. But now you're a soldier to fight. You left an axe in the car. So I'm going to give you a sword instead. And that's what we're going to fight with. We're going to fight with that sword. Who are you? Your name. Your name, Spirit. Your name, Spirit, who are you? Answer me!
Jezebel!
Why Jezebel? How many generations do you go back, Jezebel? How many? No touching. Stand back, please. How many? 12. And what happened 12 generations ago? Answer me, Jezebel. What happened 12 generations ago? Rape and murder. I loose the dogs of Jezreel on you, Jezebel. And I bind you to murder and perversion and all of your kind. The curse is broken, Jezebel. Get up and face me. Get up. The curse is broken. Renounce! Every right! To this child of God! Say yes, child of God! Admit he's a child of God! Say this child of God, Jezebel. Say this child of God. Child of God! Say it!
Child
of God!
God!
Say, we lift the curse. Lift the curse!
Lift the curse.
On him? And future generations.
Future generations.
Say, for what we do. We receive. Seven times greater.
Seven times greater.
The judgment of Almighty God. Receive it! Receive it, Jezebel! Receive the judgment of God! Every child that was molested, every one who was murdered, receive the judgment! Get up, Jezebel! There's a reason I'm provoking this thing and making it do this. Get up fully, Jezebel. Up fully.
I'm getting weaker.
Now you're getting weaker. Now say where you're going to go. Say the pit.
The pit.
Come out! The Spirit, the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to drive out all the evil, and to replace what was there with the presence of Almighty God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Let's give a warm hand. Now I'd like a real hug.
tonight has been great. God has really healed me, set me free. Oh, I just feel unbelievably freer. And I'm looking forward to what he's got in store for me in the future.
Bob, that was a pretty powerful man. And I actually saw him trying to swing at you. Aren't you a little afraid when you're involved in a deliverance like that?
No, I'm not. I've done more exorcisms than anybody on the planet. I'm still very much alive and well. I've had my ribs broken. I've been scratched, gouged, bloodied. But I'm doing fine, thank you.
Question. What was he like? I saw the video. What was he like afterwards? What did he say?
It was really amazing. In fact, one of the most interesting things we found out when this whole thing was over with, he said, I need to take you to my car. So he took us to his car and pulled out an axe.
Okay.
He said, I had this axe. I was on my way to murder somebody. I couldn't take it anymore. I was going to kill. And he said, I don't need this anymore. Take the axe. So I took the axe and I handed it to one of the pastors who was there. This is a Christian man. This is a man struggling to love God, but so eaten up with rage inside for this horrible thing that his father did to him. And coming back to what we said a little earlier, let me just point out something. When you deal with the devil like I do, when you're constantly having these kind of power encounters with the forces of darkness, that's why you take everything much more seriously than the average Christian would.
All right, let me ask you this. Howard Stern. Well, maybe the Howard Stern of Australia. What do you think would happen if Bob Larson has a one-on-one encounter with the Howard Stern of Australia? Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Bob, I don't get it. I just saw this deliverance you did. Mm-hmm. Now you go to a man that is one of the most filthy, foul-mouthed people, the Howard Stern, if you will, of Australia.
Yes.
You're sitting next to him just like me. You're a real glutton. Why'd you do this?
Why not do it? I mean, why not step right into to why not be Daniel going in the den?
Let's go to that clip right now.
We are here in the studios. Kyle is currently getting prepped because he is having an exorcism in just a moment. We have Bob Larson here, who is the exorcist.
His parents, who should have protected him, loved him, and affirmed him, did not. And they handed him over to the devil. Then when he was 14, he sealed the deal.
Do you believe that, Kyle?
Yeah, I do, actually. Have you ever seen anything? Like, you have known me for years.
I see two sides to Kyle. I see a really beautiful person.
Absolutely.
And just the nicest person you could ever
Absolutely.
Meet. And then every now and again, I will see what I think is the devil.
What do you see?
I see an evilness.
Bearing in mind, we are on the radio.
I know.
And all you can do is hear. When I look at Bob, I can't actually speak.
So what's that a sign
of? And I feel like
Bob?
I'm shaking inside.
Because that's what's
it's
inside.
It's stirring
him
it up.
Yeah, it's stirring it up. It doesn't want to show up. Last thing in the world it want to do is show up right here on the radio station right now.
Bob, I mean, we Jewish people have a word. It's called chutzpah. It means nerve.
I think I have it.
So what happened after this deliverance on national radio?
National radio. The whole country heard it. You know, this guy is known for just, you know, chewing people, spitting them out. I walked in there. He's like a puppy dog. He was scared. He was actually frightened.
I saw.
But it wasn't me. It was the power of God preceding me. And I just confronted him about his issues, his life, his demons, everything. And I started praying over him, and he froze and couldn't speak. He literally could not speak. God just froze him on the spot and shut his mouth, and he literally could not say a word. And afterwards, I shared Christ with him off the air. As I was leaving the studio, another guy walked up who was one of the people involved as a producer, and he said, I've been witnessing to this guy. I've been sharing Christ with him. So it was a God encounter. What it shows me, when you are unembarrassed by the power of God and you walk into the middle of where the devil is, God honors it.
Listen. We both know Australia is a very, very ungodly country. This is the most foul-mouthed person in Australia. What repercussion did it have on the nation?
Well, everywhere we went, all of our seminars were packed. It opened up all the media. I was on every major radio and television show in the country, secular, because they heard about this and they knew this. You can drive in any city in Australia and there's huge billboards of this guy. He's a household name.
Okay. Let's come on back to the United States of America, known as a, quote, Christian country. Mm-hmm. What is happening here? There's a proliferation of cults, occult mm-hmm. groups, pseudo-Christian groups. What's going on?
Well, we're in a post-biblical age. There's no moral consensus anymore about what the spiritual foundations of this country are all about. You see it from the Supreme Court to everyday decisions in our public schools. And as a result of that, the devil has free rein to basically do what he wants to do with only the restraint of the salt of the earth of God's people left.
What's happening with, let's take an example, Islam in the United States?
What's interesting to me is that after 9/11, sales of the Quran went up. There is now more accommodation of Islam in our culture than ever before. And it's ironic that you and I are paying taxpayers' dollars to make sure that the people who want to kill us have a prayer mat and an arrow pointing where to bow.
This is nuts. A lot of people understand about Islam, but do you understand the roots of Mormonism? Do you understand the roots of Masons? I'll tell you something, very few people understand this. I'm so glad that Bob Larson wrote this book. We'll be talking about it. It's called Larson's Book of World Religions and Alternative Spirituality. We do have the goods now. Be right back after this word.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Now listen, presidents of the United States, the most powerful people in the world, are Masons. I know that they're strong Christians. I don't get it, Bob Larson. What is wrong with being a Mason? That's just a fraternal order.
Well, that's what most people would like to think, but I would challenge any Mason who happens to be watching us right now to step forward and tell us the oaths and the vows that he has taken and spoken behind the closed doors of the lodge. And they will not do it because they speak the most bloodthirsty of curses upon them and anyone else who ever reveals what they teach in the lodge. They speak death, suicide, and murder in the lodge. Now, it may be symbolic, as they argue, but the fact is there is no such thing as symbolically calling death down on your own head. That's a dangerous thing to do.
You mean if they divulge something?
If they divulge that, I mean, they vow themselves that, you know, have their tongue ripped out, their guts disemboweled, things.
Who's the spiritual head of Masons?
Lucifer. Ultimately,
Is that
Lucifer.
Your opinion?
The worshipful master, look, most of the founding fathers of Freemasonry were Luciferians. Albert Pike is the most revered Freemason in America and founder of the American tradition. He was an avowed Luciferian. I have his books. I've read them. He says Lucifer is God.
Yes, but then so how could a real Christian be involved in that if they know the head?
Well, they don't know.
Is Lucifer.
They don't know that.
If they don't know it, how can it hurt them?
It doesn't make any difference because it's what's behind it. It's the spirit, the power, and the force that's behind
it. You're
yielding to.
Have you ever prayed with someone for deliverance because of being involved in Masons?
So many hundreds I can't begin to recount to you. And I always know who to go for. I know to go for the spirit of Lucifer. And the spirit of Lucifer is in everyone who's entered on beyond the apprenticeship, entered apprenticeship degree, because they vow allegiance to Lucifer. Now, in different parts of the country, you will have more Christianized lodges, but most of them are very vague about who God is. You'll have the Quran, you'll have the Bible, you'll have whatever sacred books they want to have.
Okay, what is the connection between Masons and Mormons? I've never heard that the two are connected.
Oh, absolutely. Joseph Smith Jr., of course, who founded the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, took all of the secret ceremonies that are done in the temple in Mormonism straight out of Freemasonry. It's the reason the Freemasons hate the Mormons and the Mormons hate the Freemasons, because they're a copycat.
Let's switch gears, but before we do, I am so impressed with this book of world religions and cults and occult groups. I assume you had a whole team of specialists do the work because you're so busy.
I do it myself. Why? I do it myself.
Why do you do it yourself?
Because I have such a fascination, an historical interest in this. It's been my life. I've lived it. I mean, it's cross-checked and referenced by a team of people. But as far as the writing, it's myself. It's a product of what I've observed in more than three decades of ministry, watching this stuff.
Now, I was involved over 30 years ago, before I became a believer in the Messiah, in something called Silva Mind Control.
It's in the book.
I know. But and you know what's so wonderful about this? He not only has what it is, what its roots are, what it tries to prove, but how to help someone get out of it. Listen, first thing is understanding. How many different cults and occult groups do you have?
Hundreds. So, literally hundreds categorized.
Look, there are a lot of books on this subject. Why'd you do this?
I did this because people needed a quick encyclopedic capsuled summary so that in just a matter of seconds, they can go to the alphabetical index. A friend, a loved one brings up a term they've never heard before. What's that? Is that good or bad? They flip, they find it, and 30 seconds, they got an answer.
Listen, I went to a health food store, mm-hmm. and a conversation is going on with the owner and someone else. And the owner says, I finally have found the ultimate, a course in miracles.
Uh-oh.
This is a strong Christian, and this is the most wonderful thing. It answers all of my questions. What?
A course. It's in the book. A Course in Miracles was received by automatic handwriting through demonic dictation through something called the voice. And it's got Jesus in there, but it denies all the cardinal tenets of the Christian faith and, in fact, seeks to supplant the Christian faith. It was received from the spirit world by a demon. The whole thing.
There seems to be so many New Age courses.
Yeah.
Are you finding there is an increase in the number of Christians that need deliverance?
It's so explosive that we've got 100 deliverance teams all over America. We can't keep up with it. The caseload, we're backlogged for weeks in all of our teams because of the numbers of Christians who have gotten involved in stuff they didn't know was bad and they picked up garbage.
I mean, you've even discussed Star Wars mm-hmm. has got evil roots. In just 30 seconds,
what's
wrong with it?
Well, the evil root is it goes back to Zen Buddhism. George Lucas is a Buddhist.
Yes, but that doesn't make the movie a Buddhist.
But he has stated publicly that the whole frame of reference of the worldview and the characters is based on Buddhism, and he has said things like he deliberately concocted Yoda to be a mouthpiece for Zen.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I'm so interested in you, Bob Larson, and what you have to speak in, especially this book, I wish I had had this as a traditional Jewish man. I got involved in something called Silva Mind Control. It was taught by good people trying to accomplish good things. I found out the most deceived people were those that were teaching. And one day, a Christian had enough chutzpah, enough nerve to say, Sid, turn to your own Torah, your own Jewish scriptures. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, God calls it an abomination to communicate with the dead, seances, being involved in the various occult and New Age types of courses. Now, I didn't even believe the Bible was real at that point. I believed it was just good stories. But just on the 1% chance that it was real, I said, I'll go into neutral gear and I'll just read the Bible. I mean, after all, I'm Jewish. And I got the shock of my life. This New Age spirit guide that they had instructed that I invite into myself started cursing me when I read the Bible, and I knew it was true. Well, listen, I didn't know what to do, but fortunately my Christian friend said there was a greater power than the power that was destroying me. I literally didn't care whether I lived or died. And I prayed a two-word prayer, but the important thing is I got the name right and my heart was right. I said, Jesus, help. That's all I said, and I gave up. And I can tell you that when I woke up the next morning, I was just encased with the most love I'd ever experienced in my entire life. I tell you that if you could taste this love, there is nothing anyone anything offers to compare. And the love is the love of God, but there's no other name in which we must experience God through but the name of Jesus. Hebrew, Yeshua, the King of the Jews.